This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2023, held at Pleasant View School in Arcola, Illinois, on March 3 and 4.
Welcome. I don't profess to have all the answers to this, and I feel like I'm probably only going to scratch the surface of being a contributing board member. But it is something that is very important. I've been on boards already where you felt a five-member board, you only had about two guys doing all the work. And that is not what it's set up to be, what it's set up, how it's set up to run. We do ourselves a disservice when we have boards like that, and especially with the local school. If we have a school board and a five-member board, there's still room up front. Come on up. If we have a five-member board and we have two men doing the work, well, it's a recipe for burnout. And so it's important that we all contribute to the best of our ability. Being a contributing board member, I guess some people would say, well, we have a small school. Why do we need a school board? Why can't the teacher just take care of things? Well, there's three things that a board does that aids in the school. Number one, it gives structure. Number two, you help develop school policy and give direction on how that policy is carried out. And it also gives accountability to parents, teachers, and students. You kind of look at a school. The school board is kind of the central, I'm going to say the axle of the wheel. You have your school board at the center, and from there you have your interaction with your teachers, your parents, your students, your community. And so it's important that we do have a board. And I've broken this down. I'm going to try to go slow. I do have a handout at the end of the class here that has 10 key points, kind of what we talked about here that we're going to hand out, you can take with you. But I've broken this down into three sections here this morning. Number one is envision. That's kind of, we're going to kind of go through this in steps, kind of like if you're a beginning school board member, to number three, you're an older school board member, one that's been around a while and has more of a mentor role. Number one is going to be envision. Number two, engage. Number three, execute. And we're going to talk about each one of those things this morning. What we invest in our school is what we can expect to get out of it. And we're going to expand on that as we go along here. When we talk about investment, and it's been alluded to this morning already, we talk about investment, it's hard work. Investment does not always come easy. And we can burn out by the wayside. And that's why the thrust of this talk this morning is to help us to see where we're at and what important role we play in the development or school board. So the envision. Number one, the envision stage, the development stage. You're a new board member. Now what? Why me? You might think. What do I have to offer a school board? Maybe you're a young board member. Maybe you don't have your community small and you don't have enough people to fill the roles, and so you don't even have a child in school. We've all heard children say, well, why? And you say, why not? Well, that's what I'm going to say. Why not? We all have maybe even talents that we didn't recognize yet, that maybe somebody else has seen the possibilities that we have, and we have something to offer even though we might not think it's there. When I hire a guy for my shop, I usually don't look for what they know. I would rather, there's two things I look for when I look for an employee. Number one, is he teachable? And number two, is he willing to work? I can take care of the rest. And that's the same way it is with a school board here. Are we teachable and are we willing to work? Because I will warn you, coming to board meeting, you don't come to board meeting like this. You better bring this with. If you show up empty-handed to board meeting, I really wonder how much input you're going to be giving to the board in the board meeting. So, why not me? Accept the position, number two. And we'll have to keep running through these. I'm almost 50 years old, and I remember when I was young, there was men my age now filling the role then. And we talked about passing the torch already today. And so somebody has done it in the past for you. Now it's your turn. Accept the position. 1 Corinthians talks about the analogy of Christian workers. We're all laborers together, and we all have differing gifts. You might be starting a new school, or you might be accepting a position on a board that has been running for years. But in the past, and Glendon alluded to it in his talk, the foundation has been laid for our Christian schools. Do we value it? Do we build on what the foundation that was laid before? I had to think of the Notre Dame Cathedral in France. Does anybody know how many years that was in building? Anybody want to guess?
Hundreds, like 600?
No, not quite that far. 180 years. It had four different architects. Now, how would you like to be an architect on a building that somebody already started? I don't know if we have any construction guys here or not, but you look at that cathedral and it stands as a monument of the hard work of one architect being passed on to the next. It went through four of them till it was finally completed. The men that started that building never saw the completion of that building. And yet it stands as a monument to someone's hard work. And that's the way it is with our schools. We've been entrusted with the school. It's up to us to leave it in a better position than what it was when we started, if we can. Accept the position. Number three, under Envision, develop the commitment for Christian education and helping your school succeed. Now, I talked a little bit about this previous. Do we value what we have? And if I don't value it, it needs to be an inward look why I don't value it. There's men that spent time in prison to develop a Christian private school. Do we value what we have? Would you feel more honored to sit on a business board or a school board? What's the lasting value of each? Can you take your monetary wealth with you? No, we can't, but we can take the souls of our children. And so when we look at the school and the value the school has on the church and the local community, I think it does us well to develop that commitment to the best of our ability on the value of our school. Number four, under Envision, develop a desire to learn. Now, this might apply more to younger members, but I think if we all admit it, we all have things that we need to learn. I'm a mechanic by trade, and I always say, if you know how it works, you can fix it. And that's the way it is going to be with your school. Study your school handbook if you're not familiar with it. See what's in there. Do your homework. What's your state requirements? Do you know? Visit school. Figure out how the school functions and what takes place throughout the year. Take notes. That's why I said come to board meeting with a folder. Take notes. To operate the school and function efficiently, we have to know how it works. Ask questions. That's a key one. We've all heard the quote, probably, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Well, I want to clarify that. There is stupid questions. But a question that's asked with a desire to learn is a not a stupid question. So, previous board members, older people in your community, the teachers, if you don't know much about your school, and some of this might apply more to multi-church schools. Where I'm at now in northern Pennsylvania, we have one, and we have a small school with our small church. So it's just the board members all come out of the church there. I have been on boards already where it was multi-church boards. And so you might be coming to a board meeting and you don't really even know some of the other members. You might be attending a different church. So it's important that you develop an idea of how the school works and desire to learn more so that you can help it operate efficiently and effectively. And that kind of goes right into the next one, number five. Learn to know your fellow board members and develop a working relationship with them. Develop that vision. Develop the vision for a Christian school if you don't have it. This varies a lot from school board, depending on the community. Some of us maybe have 5-member boards, some have 3-member boards, some might have 7, 12-member boards. You know, it all depends on your community. But learn to know who you're working with. Learn to know what job each one has and what your role is in working with the board. And you'll learn as you go along that successful board members are not really defined by what you know, but by how you work together. And in studying for this, I found it interesting. There's a lot of similarities between school boards and corporate boards. And I was doing some study and some reading, and it's important that we remember when we're looking at a school board that it is about the board. It is not about me. And so learn to know your board members. And we're going to talk some more about this later, how we work together and develop a common goal, develop that common goal for the good of the school. We all have a job to do. Let's learn to do it well. work on the vision of the Christian school. So, that was kind of the introduction into this. So, now we're going to transition into engage. Okay, this is more the relationship part of the school board. Engagements, relationships. And we talked about learning how to know, or learning to know our fellow members. And the one way you can do that is show up at board meeting. Now, to some of us, we would say, well, who wouldn't show up at board meeting? Well, there's times it happens. There's places it happens. In preparing for this, I was talking to some friends of mine and just kind of like, you know, what do you feel is important for a contributing board member? Just kind of getting some feedback. And one of them said this. He was on a board. He is actually still currently on a board for a larger organization. And there's a board member that he hasn't even met yet. He's been on there a year. He doesn't come to board meetings. Rule number one, if you're on the school board, show up. Come to board meeting. All of this that we're going to talk about is negated if you're not there. You might be a successful businessman. You might have all the qualities for a successful board member. But they can't be tapped into if you don't show up at board meeting. If you're not willing to do the work that is involved in helping the school succeed. This might be more of a problem, like I said, to communities with larger multi-church schools, but it's important that we all recognize the value or the responsibility that's been placed on our shoulders when we were either elected or nominated for the school board, or when we accepted the school board. Don't accept a position on the school board if you're not going to want to help. Because let me tell you something, and we're going to talk about this some more. It's not just showing up at board meeting. There's a lot of work behind the scenes that is important as well. So, under engage, number one, show up. Be there. Number two, learn to listen and communicate effectively. God gave us two ears and one mouth. And I think there was a reason for that. There's lots of reasons for that. But especially if you're a new board member, you might want to listen more than you talk. I feel, and this is one thing I struggle with or have struggled with in the past, I'm a fixer. You can be telling me something, I'm already assimilating some things up here, I'm my gears are turning, I'm fixing the problem. Even before you're done talking, I need to learn to listen. My wife will tell me sometimes, now I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to fix it, I just want you to listen to me. Okay, I'm going to listen, I'm not going to fix it. So it's some of that concept that helps us become a good board member, one of the team. Learn to listen. Be open and honest. Here again, ask questions. If you don't understand, try to figure out what it is that you need to learn to understand. And this whole listening and communicating is a big role in helping develop trust between board members. A big one on this and underneath this point is don't be critical. Nobody likes a critical attitude. If we're overly critical of each other, you're going to trust your fellow board members? Probably not. Be constructive when you're asking questions, or why are we doing it this way? You know, maybe it's more we should be, how can we make it better? Let's not tear down. Develop trust. Practice the golden rule. And that's not he who has the gold rules. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So learn to listen and communicate back and forth in a constructive manner. You might think, well, now I'm on the school board, we can finally get that changed. That's the wrong attitude to start out with. Not saying you won't get it changed. The status quo might need changed. That I'm not going to argue with, but there's proper channels to do that. Don't start in with a chip on your shoulder with a critical spirit of how it was done before you got there and how you're going to change it now and make it run so much better since you're there. Don't use your position to throw your weight around. And we have to, some of us, especially as men, we tend to have egos. And there's times we need to learn to control our egos, and this is one of those places. We'll talk some more about that later. So to develop trust, to develop the relationships on the school board the way we want to, what we want to have a team that's really worked together, we have to develop the open and effective communication. Do your background work. Here again, we talked about this a little bit before. If you're on a board and you're still familiarizing yourself with your board members and how the school functions, do the background work. In the corporate world, the board meeting takes second place to all the legwork that happens between board meetings. And it's kind of similar in a school board. Do you know how your teachers feel about things? Is there things that they are looking at that could be improved? Do they feel that they even have a person on the board that's willing to listen to them? And here again, listen. When you're walking around, when you're talking with the teachers, when you're at church, in the community, listen. It's a commitment of time, your time. Time that maybe you feel you could be doing something else that benefits you. But it comes back to, again, what is most important in life. What are we going to take to heaven with us? We can't take our businesses with us, but we can take the souls of our children. So, be willing to put the time into it. Background work is very important, and it can be demanding at times. It might mean that you're going to sit and listen to a teacher talk for an hour when you should have been somewhere, or you thought you should have been somewhere else. But it's important that you are available and are willing to do the background work. Work at developing good relationships with the teachers and the parents. Understand your school culture. We could have a whole topic on school culture, but the community expectations are important. You need to know the direction that your community wants, or your church community wants your school to go. If you're trying to do something that goes counterculture to what your community is expecting, you're going to have a problem. So it's important that you know what they're expecting. Now, that doesn't mean that for the good of the school, you're not going to sometimes say no to what the community says. You're going to try to strike out in a different position because you're wanting to take the school to a different level or a better way. But then remember, too, and we're going to talk some more about that later, that you're one of a team. It's not on your shoulders to do it all. But understand what the school culture is in your community. Come to board meeting with some of these thoughts, some of these notes. Now, I realize this book here, and I need to empty it out some more. It actually has a couple years of school board minutes in it. That's important when you're talking later on here, when we talk about executing how we work, our teamwork in action. It's important that we know what's been done in the past, what was talked about. And so do the background work. What did we do on that situation? Should we look at it from a standpoint that we're going to make a school decision, a policy decision, so it sets a precedent for the future? But that's all in the background work. Be genuinely interested in the school, okay? Continue to develop personal knowledge. Exercise good judgment. Do we know the issues that are facing the school? And in doing that, learning to know that, it helps us be able to make decisions in a wise manner. Wisdom is important. Wisdom is only developed through hard work, it seems like. You can have knowledge, but wisdom comes with experience. Number 5 under engaging here, work at integrating yourself into the board as a whole. And this is stressing teamwork. As you learn to know your board members, you learn to know how they tick, what their opinions are. Here again, control your ego. Don't demand all the attention. Blend in. Work at becoming a part of the board. No one likes a person that's opinionated and feels like their way is the only way. And I can honestly say I don't know very many of you here, so I feel I can talk freely, and I like that. So I'm not here casting stones at anybody, but try to blend in. Opinions are needed, and we're going to talk about that here as we see the teamwork in action. But let's be careful how we present them. Your way might be one of the ways we could do it. It's not the only way. A successful board will act and work as one, and that takes focus. Try to maintain a positive spirit. Nobody likes negativity all the time. You know, we're working together for a common goal here. Let's not try to break it up feeling like we're not getting the attention that we feel we need. When things come up, be willing to take responsibility for work that needs done. Something needs repaired. Something needs checked into. Be willing to volunteer. Don't expect the chairman or the vice chairman to always have to do the legwork that needs done around the school. Number three, then, execute. This is the teamwork in action. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This is where all your background work bears fruit. Okay? Listening, talking, past experiences, current situations. This is the middle of the board meeting, so to speak. And if you haven't done your homework, if you haven't talked to people, you haven't listened to people, you haven't put some legwork into it, you're probably not going to have a lot of opinions or a lot of help to share on the current situation. We usually, when we, in my job especially, I have an exhaust shop, so we do pipe bending and all kinds of things. And if I get a semi and that needs, he wants 7-inch stacks on it, I have to make sure that I have everything there that we can pull that Peterbilt in, tear everything down, and put everything on, and it's out the door in a couple hours. Because if you don't know truck drivers, they hate downtime. And so we have to prepare. The legwork is there. My quotes need to be done. I need to have the price. I need to have all the product. We pull it in, we do the job, we send it out. And so this is where it's important that, like in the school board here, we've done our legwork. We've looked at the situation. We know what we're up against. And here again, don't have a personal agenda. Don't dominate the discussion. And if you're a board chairman, make sure you take time for everybody to talk. That's important. I already exposed myself to you. I tend to be on the quicker end of things. But some of my fellow board members might need a little bit more time to formulate what their opinion is or what their thoughts are. So don't be scared of quiet time. The questions asked, if you're the chairman, either make sure that everybody has a chance to talk as you go around the table, or if you're not doing it that way, make sure everybody had a chance to talk, even if there's a moment of silence. Don't feel like you have to keep the thing moving too fast that not everybody has something to say. For myself, I need to think twice and talk once. Some of you might be like me. Some of you might be the other way. More of a quieter demeanor. But let's all be willing to speak up. I mean, it's not just the chairman's job to get everybody to talk. We also have to be willing to participate. Work at understanding the reasoning behind the position that each member is presenting. Here again, it talks about, like we talked about, the trust that we've developed in each other. Because if we understand, if we listen to understand where people are at, it helps us when we are wanting to collaborate together to make a agreement on a policy or a rule that we feel we need to have for our school. The best questions and answers come from intentional effort and intentional thought. And there again, that can only come through doing our background work. Don't shoot from the hip. Now, sometimes we might feel like we have to. Something's dropped on us. But there again, maybe time to slow down, have a time of prayer, and come back and talk about it again. But let's work at understanding each other. Work at understanding your fellow board members. And then when we are discussing things, don't dominate the discussion. Safeguard your discussions. There's been some times things that discussed a school board meeting comes home from school with the children. That's not good. When you go home, I'm not saying you can't share things with your wife. I do at times. Some things I don't, if I feel it would affect her relationship with some of the other ladies in the church. But let's be careful how we talk and who we talk to. Be discreet. Use proper channels for your conversations. When necessary, protect your sources. Now, that's not always possible, but let's be careful. School boards can also become divisive boards, and we don't want that in our church communities. It doesn't need to be the board against the church leadership, vice versa. Let's remember that. Don't spread gossip. Don't tear down or criticize other members because of their position. Okay? That's important. Don't tear down your fellow members or criticize them because of the stance they took. Your response to their opinions has a definite effect on the cohesiveness of your board. And when policies or decisions are made, number three, support them. We've probably all heard the story about the church group that got together. They wanted to cut down a tree beside the church. And there was one man that was vehemently opposed to cutting down that tree. But the church made the decision to cut down the tree. He was the first one there with his chainsaw. And when he's asked, he's like, well, the church made a decision. I'm here to support it. And that's important for you guys as school board members as well. When the decision is made, support it. And if you're pulled aside by someone in your community, make sure that they know it was a board decision. Okay? You have a definite role in helping your community respect the school board. If you don't respect your fellow school board members, it's a high likelihood your church community is not going to respect the school board. So don't tear it down. When the decision is made, stick together. And not all decisions carry that kind of weight. But there is sometimes in policy, it can be critical. Support is critical. And when you're thinking about making a decision or you feel a decision is need to be made, think about the precedent that you might be setting. And this here again could be a whole different subject, but let's not go from decision to decision, just always having to make the same decision over and over. Think about the precedent, maybe look at making a policy. When you're on the board and looking at situations for your school, take the long view. Where would you want this to end up? Where is this going to be 10 years from now? Stick together. Remember, you are an individual member of a body. And I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about, you know, the eye, the hand, the foot, all different, yet all part of a whole. And that's the illustration I'd like you to see as you're working together with your school board. We form a body. We work together. We each have our role to play. And so when you're on the board, and we talked about that, be a supportive member. Be a contributing member. And also sometimes when you're making decisions, something to think about, You might have somebody that's critical of you. Be okay with that. Understand the possibility of being misunderstood or criticized at times from others that possibly don't see the whole picture. We don't have to always justify ourselves. Take the example of Jesus. He was misunderstood, criticized. But if we feel, if we're a part of a Christian school board that has done our homework and worked hard to understand where we're at, and we want to do it in a biblical way, there might be some times we will be misunderstood. Now here again, like I said before, let's not go out trying to make policy or change the status quo just because we have the position. That's not the proper way to do it either. But be okay with sometimes being misunderstood, but continue to support your entire board. And then number four, this maybe is for older men, become a resource or a mentor for others. I'm 49 and holding, but I value the input from men that have been on the scene before me. And it was talked about already out here, pass on the vision. You know, we kind of started at the beginning of this talk about developing a vision, but as we work with the school and you see the value of the school, you develop that vision for the school. And God bless you if you're young and you have that vision already. That's wonderful. But for some of us older ones, do what we can to pass on the vision. It doesn't mean if you're 60, you're going to have all the answers. But there is experience. There is wisdom that comes with experience. Handle it properly. Your contribution will go further than just the school board. And that's something we need to remember as well. The board helps run the school or direct the school, but we are training our children to be future church leaders, future community leaders, people that will pick up the torch where we've left off. There's many different leadership goals that we teach our children in school, and they develop as they grow older. And we need to be willing to pass that on. Number five, remain motivated and committed to your role and the importance of the work of the school. Now that sometimes can be tough. You're on the board for 5, 6 years, 9, 10 years. Well, it just kind of becomes old hat. Well, we got board meeting tonight. Gotta go. Rather do something else. Don't become passive. The work is still important. Even after your 10 years. And maybe it's time to pass the torch on to someone else. But let's not lose out before we're there. Maintain the vision. Be the watchman on the wall for your school. Stay alert about the issues that face the school. School board work can be demanding, tiring at times, but a Christian school can be a big asset to the future of the church. Don't be weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. I realize that this is, like I said, this being a tribune member is just kind of, I just scratched the surface. There's a lot that could be talked about, or even we could take some of these and break them down even and do more with it. But I hope you developed at least a little bit of an idea on how you, and I'm not saying, like I said, it's not all what I talked about here is not totally inclusive. There might be things you could add to it. But just want to encourage you in your working with your school and your school board that you develop, continue to develop a vision for the school and for the future of your school. He's handing out a handout here, just some key points, just something for you to take along. You can kind of look at it. I'm just going to go over them here real quick. Some key points to take away. Number one, develop a passion for the school, that eternal viewpoint we talked about. I think, yeah, you should have enough there. Develop a passion for the school. Number two, be willing to learn. Number three, come prepared. Number four, listen. Number five, use self-control. Number six, develop good relationship with those you work with. Number seven, be committed. Number eight, be a team member. Number nine, support group decisions. And number 10, pass on the vision. And may God bless you as you go from here. Is there any questions or comments that you, we have a couple minutes here in closing. Anything anybody want to share? How often should you change a school board? Well, that varies. The older I get, the more I think they should stay on long, long, long times. And here's why I say that. When I first got on the school board, it was a 3-year term. The first year, you're still learning how things operate. The second year, you're starting to do some things. And by the third year, you're just getting good at it. So I really think you should go at least 6. But that's just my personal opinion. I feel it is important. Longevity is important to helping a school run efficiently. Now, there again, you have the problem of possibly burning people out. But if you can juggle the terms where you always have somebody that's been on there for a long period of time, it can work better. But I'm a proponent for longer terms. Anybody else? Well, if not, you're dismissed. Thank you for coming, and may God bless you as you share in your communities through your school boards.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.